thankful for the opportunity to be here with you at Columbia, and certainly felt that we were felt the presence of the Lord during the song service. Have a desire to speak to you about something that certainly I feel like that I'm lacking in personally, and I expect every one of us here are. And I don't think there's any of us that can say that we've actually mastered this, but yet it's something that we strive for. Just recently, a brother was visiting with me, and we were talking about this subject, and the more we talked about it, the more I realized that I was lacking in it as well. In 1 Kings chapter 3, reading up to this situation, David was old, and his son, as he was nearing the end of his life, his son Adonijah had decided that he would succeed him and be the king. And so he hired some folks to go before him and to make the way. But this is not what the Lord had in mind. The Lord had in mind for Solomon to be the king. And David anointed Solomon king over Israel. And it goes on to say that Solomon was, he said that he was young, and I believe he was around 20 years of age when this happened. But consider the great responsibility that he had. It says in verse 2 of chapter 3, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in statutes of his father. Only he sacrificed burnt offerings in high places. And it said the Lord appeared unto Solomon. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, little based on the experience that he had had. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. He realized there his inability to lead and to direct God's people. And I believe that probably that we as gospel ministers, that there's so many times in our life, especially when we start out, because of the challenges and because of the situations that we're faced with, that we come to the point and we realize that we're at this point and we don't progress beyond this point except God blesses us. He said, I don't know how to go in and I don't know how to come out. And I have an awesome responsibility of leading this so great a people. We as gospel ministers should not ever get to the point that we think that we got it mastered or that we have it figured out. Because just about the time that we do, we'll be awakened that we really don't. In our own strength, we'll but fall. Solomon desired something here. And it ought to be something that you and I, as a child of God, desire. Not just gospel ministers, but fathers and husbands and parents as children of God. He said, I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people. which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant. Now, if you were going to go before the Lord and offer a petition, offer a request, if we had the responsibility of leading so great a people as he did, what would we go before the Lord and ask? Would we go before the Lord and ask that we have prestige, or that we have fame, or that we have worldly wisdom? He said, Lord, I realize that I don't even know how to go in and how to come out. He said, give thy servant an understanding heart, to judge. Well, you and I make decisions every day. Sometimes we make a lot of decisions based on a hip pocket experience, do we not? Sometimes we make decisions and we don't take into consideration the Word of God or the commandments of God or the direction that God gives for us. Sometimes we make hasty decisions, do we not? And as soon as we've made those decisions, we realize that we've made the wrong decisions. Sometimes our heart becomes so calloused to the things of God that we quickly make the wrong decision. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. David says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We need that renewal, do we not? All of us, as we live and sojourn here in this world, we need our heart cleansed. We know that eternally that we stand before the judgment seat of God and we're totally cleansed and pure before Him. But sometimes we have heart trouble here in this life. Brother Steve mentioned the heart trouble that Brother John had, and that's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about sometimes seeds of bitterness and seeds of resentment and things that swell up in our heart. And these very things, this type of heart trouble, it can affect us even yet physically. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? You want to know what godly wisdom is? Wisdom's taught throughout the Scriptures that it's something that we as children of God should pursue, that we should seek after, and we should seek God for it. Godly wisdom is knowing how, by the grace of God and by the Scriptures that God has given us, to discern between good and bad. And God, through His grace and through His Word, gives us that ability. Solomon said, that I might discern, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thy thing, and thou hast not asked for a long life. How many times are we guilty of asking maybe for long life, when maybe we should pray that the Lord would give us the wisdom to live the days that we do have here? He said, thou hast not asked, neither that thou hast not asked thyself for long life, neither hast thou asked thyself, thou asked riches for thyself. Well, maybe we don't approach Him directly and say, Lord, make us rich. Maybe we take a roundabout approach, or maybe we take a backdoor approach, or maybe we say, Lord, I sure wish that you would give me this job or that job, knowing in the back of our minds that the reason that the ulterior motive and the reason that we want it is so that it might make us a little bit richer. He said, thou hast not asked for long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, that your enemies would be taken. But thou hast asked for thyself an understanding to discern judgment. Well, I'm the first to confess that I'm lacking in that. And I believe that we probably all are. Can you say that every decision that you make is based on the knowledge that you use and that you have based on the Word of God? Can you say that it's based on diligently giving it to prayer and praying God's direction rather than our own direction? Oftentimes we want to pursue our own course. We want to do our own thing. And then when we get ourselves in a great big jam, in a great big fix, not using the wisdom that God has for us, then that's when we go before the Lord, is it not? Behold, I've done this according to thy words, and I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any arise like unto thee. And I've also given unto thee which thou hast not asked. He says, along with this, I've given thee riches. I've given thee riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then will I lengthen thy days. These very things that the Lord mentioned that he did not ask for, the Lord granted, because he did ask for a heart of understanding and the wisdom to judge between right and wrong. And yet the Lord granted, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. In Job chapter 28, it says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. There's a lot of things that people fear here in this life. Some maybe are justified and some maybe are not. I personally have a fear of water and getting out too far and into the deep. Sometimes people fear storms, and there's various things that people fear. But you and I are to have a reverential fear. A reverential fear of God. Considering, if you will, His awesome power. And we should have an awesome respect for God. And for His Word. And for His commandments. On the way over here, it made the drive seem so much shorter. The different ones in the vehicle began to mention not just God and to describe Him in the phrase of God. But to describe Him as our Savior, as our King, as our Comforter, as our Redeemer, as the Lamb of God, to describe His various attributes. And if you and I could see Him in His glorious state, then we would fear Him with an awesome respect, with a reverential fear. If you don't fear God, if you don't have the fear of God, and I'm not talking about in the respect of being afraid,
but have an awesome respect of God,
then you're not going to respect His Word. And it's not going to direct your life. And it's not going to affect your path. He says that's the beginning of wisdom. God has to first visit us with His Spirit and quicken us with His Spirit. You remember the Apostle Paul, before his experience, it didn't appear that he had that fear of God in his heart. But after he was visited on the road to Damascus, and whatever happened at that setting, he was a different man from that point on. And he didn't say, well, I'm going to do what I want to, when I want to. He said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? He had an awesome respect and an awesome fear of God. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Full-time job for a Christian. Amen. In Psalms chapter 111, it mentions as well here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. For us to experience the wisdom that God has for us, there is a commitment that you and I have to follow in keeping His commandments. You can't ignore the commandments of God and then expect God to give us the wisdom to discern. You can't ignore God's Word and God's statutes and then expect God to direct our path. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Our own understanding, our own ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good and understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Colossians, Paul, and my, his life had certainly been changed. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints and the fear of the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on down to say in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with what? That you might be filled with the knowledge of your own way, with the knowledge of the world, with the knowledge of the scholars, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. His will. Are we seeking His will? Are we seeking His will in our commitment to follow Him? In our churches, in our families, and in our jobs. He says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In James chapter 1, he says, and if any man lack wisdom, let him ask who? Let him ask his neighbor, let him ask his father. No, he says, let him ask of God, which giveth it liberally. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, strengthened with all might according to His power, and unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto God the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he goes on down to tell us our position in Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into his kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. In James chapter 3, first of all, in James it tells us that if any man lack wisdom, if we lack spiritual understanding, if we're lacking in the discernment to discern between right and wrong, the right way to go and the way in which not to go, he says that in Matthew that it's likened to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, that when the storms come, that it'll stand. In James chapter 3, it tells us a little bit more about it. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. And that's not weakness, but that's the opposite of arrogance, or an arrogant person. His work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, then peaceable, it's gentle, and easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Solomon concludes at the end of Ecclesiastes what the whole duty, he sums it up, the whole duty of man is. And that is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And if we do that, God blesses us as we sojourn here in this life to discern between good and evil. And he grants us that wisdom as we sojourn here in this life. And as the days get darker and the times get more gloomy with the influence of the world around us and in the lives of those that are near to us, we need more and more to be able to have that discernment that's not devilish and of this world, but that's of God, that's pure and peaceable and holy and just. Thank you for your attention.